Sex and happiness.
Both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Want you to make me feel like I'm the only girl in the world. Like I'm the only one that you'll ever love. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everyone. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. And today will be no disappointment for you. We're going to be talking about sexual healing for men. You know, many of my shows are often skewed towards women. Women's sexual healing, women claiming their power, crone women claiming their orgasm. And so I don't know. It just seems like a while since I did a show for men. I love shows for men, don't get me wrong. And many of my listeners, my regular listeners, are men, but it just seems like a while since we did one. So this show today is going to be about sexual healing for men, like why men need sexual healing and what that is and how that takes place. So my guest today, who is an expert in this, is Janet Paillette. And she's a somatic sex educator, she's an intimacy coach, a tantra teacher, a sexological body worker, and she's worked in the healthcare field for over 25 years. She works with individuals and couples using a variety of modalities to help them explore different paths of pleasure within the body, increase their sexual energy, and enhance intimacy to help heal emotional and sexual wounds. So, Janet, welcome to Sex and Happiness.
Thanks, Lori. I'm really delighted to be here.
I am delighted to have you because you're going to address a topic that I think needs time and energy spent on it. I think men need to find out how and why they need sexual healing. I think we've focused, the whole culture is focused on sexual abuse and the healing of sexual abuse with women. And the only time it's really been huge in the news and come up is around the priesthood and abuse of boys. But I think this is a much wider topic than people who've been in the choir, in church, or what have you. I think sexual healing for men is huge. So what are the most common reasons that men would come to you or would seek out anybody for sexual healing? Maybe we could start there.
Yeah, well, it's really interesting. In my experience, men needing sexual healing, they often don't even realize that they need sexual healing. Does that make sense? Like they might come to me because they're feeling like they have a very specific sexual issue that they want to work on, such as a premature ejaculation or erectile dysfunction or some component of that. But I often find that the sexual healing is really very deep inside of men and that wounding is not necessarily that visible. And so you see other sort of symptoms, if you will, that mask what's really going on underneath.
So the common ones, it sounds like, would be erectile dysfunction or premature ejaculation. Are there any others that men should be on the lookout for?
I would say that I see a lot of men with emotional wounding that really shows up as sexuality problems. So because our emotions and our sexuality are so deeply connected with each other, they absolutely have such a huge impact on that. So often men will come to me because they're feeling really anxious, right? Or they're feeling just uncomfortable in relationships. And often what you're uncovering over the process of working with them are really deep woundings that happened, maybe from even as early as birth, that generally women have imposed on them, usually unwittingly, that have really had an impact on the way they view their sexuality, on the way they relate to other people, particularly women. So it's a really interesting, like, women come for sexual healing and it's much more distinctive. Like, very often there's been abuse, there's been trauma. And men have been abused and traumatized as well, but it's in a different way. It feels like it's often more, less physical and often much more emotional wounding that shows up as sexual problems at different times in their life.
Thank you for distinguishing that. It really makes a lot of sense. I know that boys can also be physically abused and sexually abused through the hands of the adults around them or strangers. But I think what you're talking about, this emotional wounding, is so ingrained and so strongly influences them. And either they don't remember it or they do remember it, but they don't know how it shows up. And then it does show up in erectile dysfunction and in premature ejaculation. Sometimes it shows up, I think what you're saying is, in the inability to form intimate relationships with women.
Yeah, I think that's probably where it shows up the most, is the inability to form the intimacy issues is really related to sexual wounding, right? Not being able to trust a woman to hold their heart because they've been wounded so many times in the past. So I think that that's where we see it a lot. And, you know, I do a fair amount of anal base work from my tantric roots. I do a fair amount of base work on men. And that is a huge place where men hold their sexual wounds, right? The base chakra, the root chakra, is really very, very primal. And it's about security and it's about connection to mother, really. And a lot of men show up with very serious mother attachment or detachment issues. And that often shows up in the base chakra itself. And that's one of the areas in which you can really start to assess what's going on and start to actually put energy and healing and love into that area to help start to heal those emotional wounds.
Really important stuff what you're speaking of here. And when I mentioned in your bio that you are a somatic sex educator and sexological body worker. So what are those things? Like, what's a somatic sex educator? Because I feel like you're describing something. You're talking about where men hold their wounding in the anus, the first chakra. So what does that mean, like, to be a somatic sex educator?
So as a somatic sex educator, my approach to sex and really to relationships is that everything is stored in the body. So somatic just means body, right? And the principles in which I've been educated as a somatic sex educator, as a sexological body worker, and as a tantra teacher as well, is that we store wounding in our body. There's literally physical imprints in our body of anything that ever happened to us and that we've ever experienced before. And trying to assess those, find them, and heal them is really one of the things that I work on the most with clients. And it's really about getting them into their bodies and then helping them to reframe a memory. So I'll give you, if you don't mind, like an example.
No, I want an example for sure, because that'll anchor it for people.
Right. So I had a very interesting experience with a client just fairly recently, where he had this memory. What part of what I do is I help people go back into their memories and reframe memories, because even memories have a somatic experience, right? If you're traumatized or you're just having something that was really upsetting to you, your stomach might get tight or you might have a hard time breathing. And all of those memories are deep inside of our body, and we hold that muscle memory. So we had a really interesting experience where he had this memory of being about 4 or 5 years old, sucking on his finger and in a different language sort of saying, hunger, hunger, hunger. And really what came out of that was that when he was a really, really little child, he was, I want to say, neglected by his mother, who didn't feed him enough, right? And he really missed the whole entire breastfeeding experience. And he had this memory in his body of feeling hunger as a little baby. And we were able to go back and reframe that memory it was a very interesting experience by, you know, basically he had a missing experience and we were able to substitute it by holding him to my breast and sort of just nuzzling him and, you know, letting him imagine that he was having that experience. He felt full again in his body, and that whole feeling of being abandoned by his mother started to change when he thought about it. So what I'm able to do is to actually take memories, help change them and reframe them, and it changes how you feel physically in your body. And that's incredibly healing, because when you go back and think about it, you feel totally different. And that feeling, that emotional feeling, is tremendously healing for people.
That's an amazing experience that you described to us, and makes me think also that some people play these things out in fantasy. It sounds like this person had no idea, then got the idea, like had the memory, and worked with you in the appropriate way to reframe. And some people just are driven, in, sounds like, in the unconscious, but then they end up playing this out in fantasy. Do you have anything to say about
that? No, definitely true. One of the key things I work with a lot of clients is trying to help find their core erotic theme. And the core erotic theme is usually related to what your sexual blueprint is. And you'll see that play out again and again and again in different types of fantasies, but almost always it's related to a really deep wounding of somebody, right? So if somebody's core erotic theme is the bondage theme, for example, you know, it's very likely that their need to surrender is related to some sort of wounding that they had before, like that they had an abandonment issue, or they were the type of person that at a very early age had to stay in control because things were out of control in their life. And so they became a very controlling person. So your core erotic theme might be the opposite of that, which is like, my God, I just want to be able to surrender. So people do play these woundings out in different ways. They play it out in memory. They play it out in fantasy. I can help clients access it through different methods as well, right? So like it can be working within the body itself, like I described, working, doing anal base work, or it can be through literally taking them through a somatic experience or talking through and maybe playing out a core erotic theme. There's a lot of different ways into it, which is one of the reasons the work is so interesting for me, that there are so many different modalities that you can try, all of which are effective and all have their place depending upon what the client's affect is and what the actual issue is.
Well, I want to tell you, your job sounds very, very interesting, exciting, and stimulating, and sounds like there's never a dull moment.
That's for sure.
So we're going to take a short break here, and when we come back, I'm going to ask you questions about how partners of these men, whether they're women partners or men partners, can help heal male partners and lovers, what they can do, and any tips that you have, because this is very exciting, and obviously not everybody can come see you. So they're going to need to know some things to do and how they can be helpful, how they can hold space, etc. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers, and I am interviewing Janae Pellet, and she is a somatic sex educator, intimacy coach, tantra teacher, and sexological body worker. And she's just given us some incredibly valuable experience and information about how men are wounded and how it gets played out in their sexuality. And some of the things that she does to help them work it out, reframe it, heal from it. So we'll be right back. My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra is safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show.
Wow, sex magic. Laurie Handler's sex magic.
The workshop is really, really amazing. And we were able to create and generate this intense energy in a space of safety and love and abundance. And the magic really happens when she is free to let go.
That's pretty creepy.
That shouldn't be called sex magic. It should be called sex miracle.
That she's the strongest facilitator that I've had the experience with, and there was not a moment when I didn't feel safe or not supported. She was with us individually and as a group the entire time, so that allowed me to go deeper than I've ever had.
Where my lover got to come and orgasm over and over and over again. She was loud as anything, and she was like a wild animal, untamed and free.
It just will bring you into such deeper places within yourself so that you're able to share with your partner.
Sex magic. I'm still feeling it. It was beautiful.
The next Sex Magic course is November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona.
What an amazing course, if I say so myself. But of course, you've just heard the testimonies. For more information, go to butterflyworkshops.com, click on Workshops, and find out more about sex magic. It's magical.
We're back with Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers, and today I'm interviewing Jeanne Pellet. And she is really frankly and openly and honestly talking to us about the work that she does with men. So a couple things. One is I want to ask about what women can do to help heal men partners, what men, other men can do to help heal male partners, and also what your work with couples is, especially with the men in the couples that are coming to see you. I know, I'm just going to say this is from my experience. I know often when I see couples, one or the other is blaming the other. All of the problems are her. And yesterday I talked to a client who said, all the problems are him. And so I love that genders love to blame each other for everything that's wrong. And perhaps, you know, in the DNA, that's really the truth. Perhaps there's been so much violence and so much distrust and so much misuse over centuries and millenniums of people misusing each other for gender-based. Maybe it's really true. It really is him. It really is her. But what do you do when you really find that the healing needs to take place in the man of the partners? I mean, do you coach the woman on how to do what you're doing, or does the woman watch or like that?
Well, I mean, there's a variety of different things. Like, actually, I find one of the really effective ways to help heal a man is to actually work on their heart. And, you know, there's this saying, I'm sure you've heard it before in Tantra, but I think Charles Muir says it, one of my teachers says it quite a bit, which is men often want into a woman's, what we call yoni, right, their vagina, and women want into a man's heart. And, right? And that's pretty true if you really think about the way the sexes interact with each other. And so one of the things that I find to be incredibly effective and is something that it's pretty easy to teach women to do is to go in and literally do a heart massage on a man. And a heart massage, you know, is something I teach, but it's basically helping them to open up the heart center, the chakra, by literally massaging the whole area and specifically focusing under the arms, because there is a lot of emotion, stuck energy and emotion in the nodules, in the armpits. And that's some place like nobody touches. It's like, for most people, it's like the anus. It's like, oh, I don't want to go there. It's smelly, it's dirty, etc. But there's a tremendous amount of release that's possible there. And so a heart massage involves working on the whole thoracic area and specifically under the arms to start to access some energy and then going back to the heart. And of course, I'm talking them through it, and sometimes I'm apologizing. I don't even know what I'm apologizing for necessarily if it's a relatively new client. A partner might be saying, you know, I'm sorry for the wounding that you received, and I'm sorry for any women that have betrayed you and that have hurt your heart. And, you know, men don't hear that very often.
Right.
That is not.
If ever.
If ever, right? And just to have that beautiful apology, just saying, like, I'm here. I may not be able to have made it better back then, but I'm here now. Allow your emotions out. It's amazing, Lori, how many men just cry in my arms. You know, seriously. I mean, they will come for a session and we'll do some deep breathing, because breath work is a really important part of being able to, how do you even begin to access those emotions to be able to do sexual healing. And, you know, they'll just cry in my arms for 45 minutes and I'll hold them and nurture them. And that is a really important way in which women can help heal men. Just by being the nurturer, because they are so often the givers, and they are so many men have a hard time receiving love and receiving nurture. And so just holding your partner and just allowing them to be in your arms and not asking them to give back to you, but just being there can be incredibly healing and powerful. One of the things that I find is that a little goes a long way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, all of it makes sense to me. I hope it's making sense to everybody who's listening, because it's really powerful stuff. I was going to suggest that when you find yourself apologizing and you're not even sure what you're apologizing for, one of the things that I have people do as a suggestion to the people who might be listening and wanting to do this, I just say to the women sometimes in my classes, when you're holding this man, I want you to apologize for everything you ever heard women do to men. Mm-hmm. So I say, you know, apologize for giving the wrong phone number. Apologize for saying, I'm washing my hair tonight. Apologize for him coming home and finding all the furniture and you are moved out.
Right.
Apologize for getting pregnant and wanting a baby and not telling him, either entrapping him into marriage or not telling him and then going off to have the baby on your own. I mean, so many things. There's so many trespasses that I've heard. Women love to point the finger at men,
right.
But men get a lot of times the short end of the stick, and it's really important that they be apologized to for all these things that, we know it all. We've heard it.
Totally.
You must have friends who did all those things.
And also apologizing for our sisters, right?
Exactly.
For our sisters, and apologizing for our mothers and for the aunts and for all of the women who in some way or shape or form have hurt this man. And all of those hurts are still in his body. And so helping him to be able to acknowledge that and to grieve for it, and is incredibly healing in that aspect of helping men heal their sexual wounding and their heart wounds, because that totally affects their genitals. It just does. You know, the fourth and second chakra, the heart chakra and the sex chakra are completely connected. There's a deep energetic connection between those two places. And if you can start to heal the heart, you heal other places.
Beautiful. So well said. Thanks so much. Thanks so much for that wisdom and for telling people what they can do about it. Now, if you happen to be a male and you're with a male partner, what do you suggest for the partner who's holding space or working with the healing of his own partner? Should they let a woman in there, or should the one male partner be that for the other male?
So, you know, it's interesting. I there's something that I believe pretty strongly, which is that there are some wounds that only a man can heal on a man. And there are some wounds that only a woman can heal on a man. And there are some wounds that you can only heal on yourself. And mm-hmm. so there's absolutely a huge place for a male partner to be able to hail another male partner in the ways in which men are not always kind to each other, and the same sort of way in which women can heal other women. So I think there's definitely a place for that, and depending upon the relationship and depending upon if it's your partner, you kind of know some of the background and what would happen. And I think you can have a blanket statement of apologizing for other men who have hurt them in their past. And probably, you know, there's likely to be serious father figure issues. Men have a lot of, they have mother wounding and they have father wounding, like just like women do as well, right? And so there's mm-hmm. often a betrayal from men by their fathers. Particularly if you're talking about a situation of a gay couple, there's often issues where the man wasn't accepted by their family, by their father, that they weren't masculine enough, that, you know, they were different. So all of this is something that a male partner can absolutely heal in their partner. But again, it's helping to heal the heart, and then you can heal other parts of the body as well.
So what I'm getting loud and clear from you is your message is heal the heart.
Heal the heart.
Heal the heart.
Heal
your heart and you'll be free.
Heal your heart and you'll begin to be able to heal the sexual issues in your life. And again, whether we're doing body work or I'm just doing intimacy and coaching and taking people through somatic experience, I'm always working on healing the heart. Those are so connected, and that's so important. And for men, you know, that's where they hold everything. Women are different. Women hold most things in their yoni, right? It's a different experience when you're working with healing women. But with men, it's healing the heart. Absolutely. And they have beautiful hearts, you know? And we need women to be able to acknowledge this, because these men are beautiful men. And,
yes.
you know, and they don't hear that. They don't. It's hard to be a man in society right now. I feel really sorry for men. It's a very challenging place to be.
It really is. They've been emasculated by lots of things. Yeah. So it's very, very true. And they're confused. They just don't know how to be. They don't know how to, whether to be the bad boy or but the nice guy or the, I mean, I can remember when the women's movement was first occurring, I would yell at a man if he tried to light my cigarette. You can imagine how long ago that was, because I haven't had cigarettes in a very, very long time. But I would say, what do you think? These don't work? My hand, they work. I can light my own cigarette. And that was the beginning of men being so confused. Like, okay, what do I say to her? What do I do for her? How do I talk to her? She's militant, you know.
It's terribly confusing. Terribly confusing for me. I just did an amazing workshop. I was at Burning Man and did this fantastic workshop about the finding the masculine and finding the feminine. And we had the women inside talking and the men inside talking. And one of the questions I asked the women as we were talking about what pleases you sexually, what do you want sexually from a man? How many women just want a man to take them if they have that relationship? And every woman in the room raised their hand. And every man said, like, oh my God, because this is not the message that we've been sending out. And so it's very, very confusing for a man to be able to understand, how do I be the strong man? How do I have the polarity between women? How do I be strong and hold presence? And how do I be sensitive as well and respectful and respect their boundaries? It's a quagmire.
It really is. You said that well. I'm glad to hear that you did that workshop. And yes, it's true. Women want that, and then yet they're afraid too. They discourage it. They want it so badly, but they're so afraid to really have that happen.
Yeah.
As well. So it's everybody's afraid.
Yeah. We're walking around, and that's a whole nother topic. But we're not even clean about our own sexuality. You know. We work with women to help them feel more feminine, right? Because the women have become so masculine. We hold such masculine energy now. It's a huge paradigm shift, and it's not for the good. So not for the good.
Well, I like what we said earlier. Heal your heart. Heal your heart.
Yeah, bumper stickers made up like that. Heal your heart.
I like it. Well, we have just a moment left, so I want to give you a chance to let people know how they can get in touch with you so that they can connect with you either in person or on Skype or what have you.
Yeah, thanks a lot. So I have a website. It's www.powerofpleasure.com. I have a weekly sex advice blog that goes out if you join my newsletter list. If you're in the Bay Area, I'm teaching workshops. I'm actually doing a full weekend workshop in October. So the best way to get in touch with me is through my website. There is contact information, and I also travel, but I also work with a lot of clients on Skype because there's a lot you can do that's not hands-on in the type of somatic-based work that I do.
Oh, I meant to ask you one quick thing. Do you tap on people?
Do I tap on people? You mean like the EFTs?
Yeah.
I have taken some EFTs, and I've seen them to be very powerful. It's not something that I am really active in at the moment, but I've definitely seen a really powerful work through the EFTs.
I just want to ask you, because I don't want anybody to confuse what you do with that, with emotional freedom technique. That's why I meant to ask it to you earlier.
Yeah, so. No, that's a different technique from the somatic-based work that I do.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Okay, so that's powerofpleasure.com.
Correct.
Again, and your name is Janet Paillette, and you spell Janet with an X, everybody. X-A-N-E-T, Paillette, P-A-I-L-E-T. So just so you know who you're looking for, who you're talking to.
Exactly.
Janet, thanks so much for being my guest today on Sex and Happiness. I feel that you brought a tremendously valuable message in a lot of different ways about sexual healing for men. So I honor you, and I thank you for the work you're doing.
Thank you. It's just been a pleasure talking with you.
Everybody, please stay tuned.
My next guest is going to be talking against having sex during pregnancy.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life, get the best from relationships, attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Lori Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Lori Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
For weeks now, you've been hearing me talk about the Eroticos Film Festival and my film Beyond Dinner winning the award for the best short film. And you've been hearing me talk to all these guests that I met while I was there. And you haven't heard that much about the dinner, although in the show I did with Dr. Ava and Nancy Sutton Pierce, we did talk about what was in my film. I want to let you know that the film is about a ritual dinner that I invented called the Gate Dinner. Gate means beyond in Sanskrit. And it's a very sensual 8-course dinner that starts with the forbidden, starts with dessert, and leads its way back around to other foods. But all the foods in the dinner are very, very sensual, very beautifully prepared, and the presentation is amazing. And in this dinner, aside from everybody projecting themselves through a meditation that I do to their highest self, having had boundary exercises prior, the men rotate around the table and they feed various goddesses, all the goddesses that are around the table. And even if you come there with a partner, the partner lets go, doesn't take things so personally, lets the partner rotate around and have a sensual experience with each person that's participating. In this case, it would be men having a sensual experience with different women and then working their way back to their original partner. If this piques your curiosity and interest, I want to let you know that these dinners are now available to you wherever you are in the United States. And what you need is 20 people who would like to participate, and you can get in touch with me at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com if you'd like to host a dinner like this in your part of the world. I would love to come to your and offer one of these dinners to you and your friends, and I know my chef would love to come too. Also, Antonio Tiggs, who you've heard on the show as well, would love to come and paint your servers, so your servers are all gold or all silver or what have you. So we have a little entourage that would like to come and make this such a memorable event for you. Please get in touch with me if you'd like to hear more about it and talk about the details. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com.
Well, we're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers, and I hope you enjoyed the last part of the show, because this part is going to be controversial and thought-provoking. It's going to actually probably make you sit at the edge of your seat trying to figure out whether you agree, whether you disagree, or whether you even thought of anything like this before. I know I certainly didn't. So let me talk about my guest for a moment, and then we'll get right into the heart of the matter. My guest is Jeff Schofield. He's a doctor of chiropractic. His book, Let the Fetus Have Its Say, is on Amazon Kindle. After leaving active practice in 1991, Jeff has discovered within himself that anyone can awaken and balance the sexual energy between the head and the pelvis via pulsing umbilical memories of pain and pleasure. This leads to heightened sex and happiness by relaxing the chronic muscular spasms in the head, neck, pelvis with touch. So welcome to Sex and Happiness.
Thank you very much for having me, Laurie. It's a pleasure.
Good. It's my pleasure as well. So your book, Let the Fetus Have Its Say, is something that you're talking about here that's kind of revolutionary, or at least to the way most people think, yes?
Yes, it is.
You're saying, I think, that the fetus has something to say about memories that it had in utero, and that people don't necessarily know that.
There's so much I could say.
Well, say the most direct thing about it. Like, what does the fetus remember that we should be cognizant of?
The title of my book, Let the Fetus Have Its Say, implies that let the fetus tell us what it experiences during sex during pregnancy. Sex during pregnancy is safe for your baby is a well-held belief in our society. And that's the belief that I'm challenging with my book, based on what I have personally experienced using rebirthing, body electronics, meridian balancing, to tap into the actual memories within myself of my own genetic memories.
So you're basically saying that medicine tells people, or people tell people, that having sex during pregnancy is okay and good and healthy, and you're saying, based on your own memories and the work that you've done, you've come up with something counter to that, that you're saying that sex during pregnancy might not be a good thing. As a matter of fact, you're saying it's not a good thing.
Yes, and of course, we each, as individuals, have our free will to choose. We are the only creation on this planet that's a mammal that engages in sex during pregnancy.
Is that true? Really? Monkeys don't even practice sex, or the bonobos don't practice sex during pregnancy?
This is very interesting. All of the animals are programmed against it, actually. If you look at the nature of a horse, a mare will stample a stallion that tries to mount her when she's pregnant. Yes. And the same is true in dogs, cats, cows, pigs.
I know, but I asked you about monkeys, bonobo monkeys.
Okay. Well, I don't know that particular brand, but as far as I know, none of the monkey species engage in sex during pregnancy.
Got it. So what do you think made human beings think that it was an okay practice? I mean, I'm just asking you that before I ask you some other things. What made humans just think they could get away with it or think that it was something good?
Great question. I believe there's powers on both sides of the veil that have interests in people engaging in sex during pregnancy to keep the death mechanism in power on the planet, because there's more money to be made in death and dying than in physical immortality.
And oh, I'm a subject after my own heart, physical immortality. I love that you're saying that, because you know and I know that we're both familiar with a community of people that believes we can live forever.
Yes.
So
let me just mention Chuck, Bernie, and Jim and People Unlimited. It's because of them that you and I met. So anyway,
when you say the forces of the veil, or you said something about the veil on either side of the veil, that's what you said. What do you mean by either side of the veil?
Well, on this side of the veil, there's much more money to be made in all the genetic weaknesses in the medical arena. Now, on the other side of the veil, we have dark angels that are able to dwell within our temples when we do to our children the same thing that was done to us. It's the traditions of the fathers passed to the children, to the third and fourth generation.
So you mean dark angels, like spirit people, things in the spirit world, or entities? Or I'm sure there's a lot of my listeners who feel that there are entities or believe in entities. I myself, I don't know about that, but you're saying that, though. You're saying, like, the forces that are not this worldly.
Yes, I've experienced many entities leaving and going back to the light as I've done this journey. So many that I can't doubt them myself.
Okay.
And
well, you know,
negative
listen,
thought forms. That's all they are, negative thought.
Jeff, you have a very unique perspective just based on the science experiments that you've been doing on yourself. And what led you to do that, I have no idea, but you've been experimenting with yourself, as we all do, but you've taken it a little further than most people. So I have no doubt that you have some knowledge of things that many people will not, and some of it's going to sound strange to people. Like, I imagine that us just talking about not having sex during a pregnancy sounds strange to people, because while I've never been pregnant and I've never had children, which I also know is rare, some people will sit up for that, but because I've never done that, I don't have firsthand experience of that. But everyone that I've ever talked to who had sex during pregnancy said it was great.
Well, me too. I am father to four children in my first marriage, and I love sex during pregnancy. I was raised in a very conservative Mormon family. I was the best little Mormon boy ever and did everything I was supposed to. My oldest daughter was born with cerebral palsy right at the time I graduated as a chiropractor, and I could not comprehend how a good little Mormon boy like me should be blessed with this type of a challenge. So I took it as okay, my challenge, and I went on a journey to heal my daughter. After the divorce, and all of those reasons were stripped from me because of child support, and anyway, because of the issues around in divorce, I had no longer, when they give one parent over the other the control over a child, it's not joint custody.
Sole custody.
Sole custody, I gave that to the mother of my four children.
We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about how, Jeff, you discovered this. Like, what were you doing that all of a sudden gave you insight and experience and a memory of what it was like to be in utero? So when we come back, we're going to pick up right there.
Sounds truth.
So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers, and today I'm speaking with Jeff Schofield. And Jeff has written a very controversial book, and I think you ought to get it. The name of the book is called Let the Fetus Have Its Say, and you can get it on Amazon Kindle. And we're talking today about to have or not to have sex during pregnancy. That is the question. We'll be right back.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Lori talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Lori's CD, Shamanic Release and Lati Han, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Lori is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Lori sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lati Han today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lati Han CD by Lori Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
We're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers. And today on the show, Jeff Schofield is telling us about his book, Let the Fetus Have Its Say, which you can find on Amazon Kindle. And I'm recommending that you get it, even if it's so eye-opening for you, if you never considered this, that the idea of having sex during pregnancy might not be a wise thing to do, might actually be something that Jeff calls is on the other side of the veil, sort of like a dark thing to do. Even though Jeff says he readily admits that he had sex in the pregnancies of his four children, he has discovered something by working on himself that gave him a memory that led him to believe that sex during pregnancy is not a good thing. So Jeff, how did you come upon this memory or this information?
I've done a lot of different healing work, self-healing, one of them being rebirthing, introduced to the world by Leonard Orr. And it's basically breath work, dry or wet. And in the wet version, you use a snorkel and a nose plug, and you have a facilitator. When I first met Chuck, Bernie, and Jim back in 1989, Pauline Boy was doing rebirthing out of their center, and I had a session with her, which was with the snorkel and the nose plug, and I had a profound energy release. And it wasn't until 1994 that I got the idea, after having done a lot of rebirthing in between, to take the nose plug off and draw water gently across each nasal membrane while in the fetal position with a snorkel and a bathtub by myself.
Now, no one you ever met had that idea before. No one ever told you to do that, right?
No, this came from my higher self.
Mm-hmm.
I have no other explanation because I was afraid I'd drowned. I had no idea there was reflexes in place that would swallow the water, and that it basically elicited the nasal pain we have all felt when we're swimming and get water up our nose.
Well, today when I was swimming in my pool, actually, a little water went in my nose and I thought of you.
Yes.
So you tried it. You allowed a little water to go into your nasal passages and you felt some pain. How did that connect to this memory?
Well, my belly button started to pulse very strongly in response to the nasal pain. And I knew to stay still and to love the pain from my study of another healing technique where you stay still instead of moving away from pain, you stay still and put love into it, and it melts like a paper tiger. Very powerful work using love over pain. So the pulsing then has been my guide for 19 years. And each time I go, I call it going down under, like to Australia, right, going down under with my snorkel in a bathtub, curled up in the fetal position, and I get to the point where I'm relaxed and happy. I will choose then to elicit the nasal pain, and my belly button will start to pulse. This has happened consistently. It's a biological memory. There's nothing head trip about this. I haven't been able to turn it off.
But how did you connect the dots? Like, okay, you experienced the pain. How did you connect the dots or the pulsing in your navel to sex during pregnancy? I mean, how could you, I don't know, I can't make that connection. How did you make the connection?
Well, I've had many lovers, and I've experienced the sexual energy. The pulsing that I felt, it would elicit pain patterns throughout my body, and I found that if I would masturbate just prior to going down under the water or use a little alcohol to awaken whatever alcohol does. Some people like to drink before they'll have sex. I found that there was a connection between the pulse and the sexual energy. Now, this did not happen the first time I did it. The first time it was just pain. I stayed still and loved it. And the pain went away, and I felt really happy, and I slept really well. And that's what kept drawing me back, is like, it's a pulse, and I sleep really well. After a hard day's work, everybody likes to get in the tub. I just took it to the next level. Every house has a bathtub in it because of our love or our memory or our desire to remember our womb environment. That's the way I look at it.
Interesting, very interesting. Well, so what happens if a mother who is pregnant has an orgasm? What happens in your way of thinking?
The uterus contracts during the orgasm, and it stays contracted for 5, 10, 15, or 20 minutes. The fetus, in the meantime, has this wave of pleasure coming in, and as the oxygen supply gets used up, then the CO2 builds up, and the metabolic waste builds up, and this creates pain. So this is what I feel is the mechanism for all relationships have pain and pleasure wrapped together. If you look at love songs, most of them that go to the top of the charts will have some essence of pain and pleasure written into the music, because this memory is in all of our musical memories.
And this is because the contractions in the uterus led to a depletion of oxygen and a buildup of carbon dioxide and metabolic waste.
That's a very simple way of putting it. Now,
well, I want it to be simple because I want people to get it.
That is the essence of what I'm saying, yes. There's nothing complicated about it. Now,
well, wait a second before you move on. Yes, I want to say it's true about the way songs are written and how they have pleasure and pain in them. I don't listen to them too much anymore because I don't want to create pain in my life. I only want to create pleasure, so I don't listen to anything with those kinds of lyrics. But, you know, certainly they've had an influence on me and they've been my favorite songs, especially when I was suffering. But I don't believe that my mother had sex when I was in utero, so I don't think I got it. I don't think I got my suffering from there. I feel that I was the Immaculate Conception.
This is a very good point, and I think this is where we need to let the fetus tell us. I feel like I did to my children what was done to me based on what I've remembered. I've actually taken it to the point of listening to my parents' voices while watching a pornographic film and placing myself in between the two partners. And it seems to go right to the memory so profoundly and powerfully that then I'm able to release more of these pain-pleasure blockages that keep me from feeling the free flow of the life force that I am.
Wow. We have just another minute or so left. If I were to ask you to boil all this down into one message, what would your message be? Like, just as clearly as you can tell us, what is it? What's the gift?
with the concept of being the change I want to see. Mm-hmm. I've been very lonely in this journey, but the change I would like to see is that the statement, sex during pregnancy is safe for my baby, be used in the same sentence in the future as the world is flat and man will never fly.
I see what you mean. Like, prove it wrong. You want to prove that sex during pregnancy is unsafe.
I want to use the incredible technology they have now to build on the research done in the 70s, which has left room for doubt, but it was shut down. They already proved what I'm saying, but the powers that be on this side and on the other side of the veil did not want this information out because it re-empowers people as their own physician, as their own healer. It basically puts the sexual energy back in charge of renewing and regenerating our physical form.
Got it. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for that information. I think that people probably will have to hear it again or be able to go to some research that eventually you will lead. I'm not sure, but I wish that for you, that you'll be able to prove your point and that the journey won't be so rough or so lonely, I guess is what you said. Again, how can people get your book? What's the name of it again, and how can they get it?
My book is titled Let the Fetus Have Its Say, and it's on Amazon Kindle.
And then if people want to get in touch with you and see more about you and the kinds of things that you're researching and studying and are into, what's your website?
My website is www.myotherhalf.blog.com. My other half refers to our cord and placenta, our literal biological other half that is cut off when we're born.
So how would somebody know that that their parents had sex during pregnancy? Is there any physical evidence in people's bodies that seems to be common that people have ailments of?
Yes. Go into any rest home and you'll see that the body curls back up in a ball, just like it was in the womb, because of the dominance of these fetal memories. Now, these fetal memories are tension in the neck and the low back, because these two parts of the body work together with what I call the suck push, like a fish. We all did it, and this is our control as a fetus over maintaining the flow of the blood in both directions at the same time. And there's incredible control mechanisms, but it's very simple. The same way that you and I are breathing right now is the same way we breathe in the womb, except that we closed off the glottis and we were sucking through the straw of the umbilical cord. It's the same muscle groups. So when the blood doesn't flow during maternal orgasm, you tighten them more and more, and because of this repeated pattern, that's what comes back in the aging process. So you have to treat both the neck and the low back at the same time, because that's the way the pain was imposed, which I did as a chiropractor all the time. I just didn't know that was the mechanism.
So what could people do if they're suffering from, I mean, aside from seeing a chiropractor, which hopefully people are seeing chiropractors, but what can people do for this neck and lower back pain to heal?
I would be happy to coach people with phone, and my phone number, if they want to call, is 573-678-2860. Just call me. If you want to actually awaken your own prenatal memories, I would highly recommend you let me take the guesswork out of it for you, because it's taken me 20 years to come to the conclusions. So it's going to be a bit overwhelming for you just to listen to this program, let alone try and do what I have done.
I'm so glad you said that, because it is going to be a bit overwhelming. Well, Jeff, thank you. Thanks for giving us that tip.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Okay. Well, Jeff, thanks so much for being my guest today on Sex and Happiness. I'm going to distill that people would be sexier and happier if they weren't trying to have happy sex during pregnancy. So thank you for making that point. I appreciate you a lot. And everybody tune in next week when I will be talking about how having ADD and other mind-boggling things hinder your sex and happiness? This is Laurie signing off for Sex and Happiness.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Laurie and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Laurie's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to-